Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Did you know that if you tell someone that they might have some cognitive dissonance, their response usually is, no, I don't, but this is stranger still?
No, I don't, but this is stranger still. Welcome, everyone, to Stranger Soon. This is the show where you never thunk to...
No, it's not the think of the thunks. This is wrong. You are wrong.
I am never wrong, John.
Oh.
I'm the researcher of this show. I am never wrong.
Right.
So, this is Stranger Soon, and my name is Nick Tree. I'm good at improv.
Yeah, fantastic. And my name is John Stamos.
And we answer the questions that you never thunk to thunk. And today, we're going to talk about... How wrong you are, John.
Oh.
What do you think our show's called?
I think our show's called Stranger Still. I think my name's John Bing, and I think your name's Nick Wood, and I think we answered the questions you never thought to ask.
Well, we'll agree to disagree then.
So, yeah. How long is this thing?
This thing on? Today. This is going to be a really roundabout way to get here, so I'm just going to say it up top. You probably already looked at the title. Today we're going to talk about cognitive dissonance, which is very fun, and it's about your brain, so just stay with us. And then we're going to talk about how someone can gracefully be wrong about something.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a major problem in our world right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if it's a problem in other countries, but I can tell you for a fact it's a problem in America. A lot of people will say, I hate being wrong. Why do we hate being wrong?
I think people are just doing it wrong. They're doing wrong,
yeah?
Nicholas.
Okay.
You're right. There are truly graceful ways to be incorrect.
Uh-huh.
And I think we should go over a couple of examples.
Well, we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause first I want to talk about why we hate being wrong. And that's where it all stems from. Because if we didn't hate being wrong, then we wouldn't fight tooth and nail for things that we might not actually be 100% sure about. Like... I don't know. What's an example of something right now that people are arguing about? Like, vaccines cause autism.
Yeah.
They fight tooth and nail with no evidence just because they don't want to be wrong. And they hate being wrong. And now they've invested so much time that if they were wrong...
They're going to look like a dumb goofus.
They're going to look like a dumb goofus. And I was reading an article on psychology today.
psychologically today.
I was reading an article on...
Mentally tomorrow.
So I was reading an article on Psychology Today that was the whole thing was kind of a no-brainer, which I hate talking about because it makes me sound like John Tesh, which we both know I hate because he just states the obvious as if it's new information, but it's worth talking about. So their main point in this article was that the more rigid your personality is, the harder it is for you to admit you're wrong. Duh. Like I said, no-brainer. Pun intended. But they break down the brain into three parts. There's your human brain, your mammalian brain, and your reptile brain.
Oh, but this is going to be tasty.
Well, I didn't even use any of that because I thought it was kind of stupid. Basically, what they're saying is you have like a modern brain and you have a primitive brain.
Right.
Or primal brain, whatever. Yeah. That's what I'm going to break it down into. I'm going to use their same information but break it down into that.
My human brain says, just let it go. It's just a fly. Just just let it get out of here.
Yeah. And then your primal brain.
We have
that thing's
going
to kill us.
Yeah.
But both sides of the brain, my two sides of the brain, not their three sides, are constantly looking for ways to keep us alive, which unfortunately can make us very dumb in certain situations. The truth is that our brains are meant for two things, which is to keep us alive and to spread the population.
Yeah.
That's about it.
The earth is flat or die.
Yeah. Well.
No. It's flat. Or I'll die.
Well, or
stop.
We'll die.
Nope.
See, I can see how that would be a protective measure of your brain. Like, I'm going to fall off the side of the earth and die, so I'm not going to go that way.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of, I guess. But our primitive brain has very rigid ways of keeping us alive, and I would say our modern brain has... It just kind of comes up with rigid ways to keep us alive. And I guess what I mean by that is I would think it's safe to say that our primitive brain would focus on, like, oh my god, that guy looks dangerous, I'm going to get away from him or I'm going to get stabbed to death. Whereas our modern brain would focus on more of the pack mentality and spreading population, and we don't want to embarrass ourselves because then we'd be exiled from the group.
Sure, yeah. Oh my god, that guy looks so dangerous, but it's kind of sexy. I'm going to go populate the earth with him.
Yes. And then he's, I mean, that kind of breaks down my point and reverses it, but yeah, whatever.
He's so dangerous.
So tantalizing. But I think the biggest thing with why we hate being wrong is because we don't want to be embarrassed. That's the biggest thing, which we've talked about before, and I think everyone would agree with that. You don't want to look like an idiot. And I would say evolutionarily that would just come from the pack mentality of you don't want to be excluded based on looking like an idiot.
Yeah, I think we just didn't practice being wrong in the past, so it's like ingrained into us to be embarrassed. And I think we might grow out of it.
Maybe. Maybe someday. I hope. We can try. The best that we can do is do our own best, our own individual best.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, sorry.
You embarrassed?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like Let's move on then.
Okay. So the article also points out that our modern brain becomes more rigid the less it's challenged. So the less we come up against something that shatters our belief system, the more rigid our personality becomes, and the more we hate being wrong. So let's say you've gone your entire life just in a bubble, and you just come up with all these beliefs like the earth is flat, chemtrails, blah, 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 blah. And then someone presents evidence to you when you're 30, you're not really going to accept that because it's never been brought to you before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you're probably consuming it consistently from other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're probably, I guess, putting yourself around other people that believe this as well. And that makes it much harder to break out of that belief system.
Yeah. Which goes and ties into Facebook bubbles.
Yeah.
People surround themselves with people that agree with them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story or something?
No, I just have recognized it. And I always thought, okay, that's fine. I'm gonna go on the other side of the spectrum and friend these people and welcome
them
in.
Yeah.
And I can't do it.
It just bothers
I like my bubble. It's comfy.
Yeah.
And everyone's right.
Yeah.
Because I'm right.
You special snowflake. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is for three reasons. Psychology is fascinating. I love psychology. Two, I've already said it before, but I've noticed this has a lot of influence over our political climate right now. And
three, we get to talk about lizard people because reptilian brains.
Well, then I have four because that was number three. And then four is that we have a couple of controversial topics coming up in the next couple weeks because it is Pride Month. I don't want to reveal what our topics are yet, but... Not everyone's going to, I don't think everyone's going to like the content, but I want to make sure that our audience has the ability to break down any wall of rigidity that might make them hate the episodes that we're going to come out with and at least listen to what we have to say.
Yeah, and as long as we're playing good cop, bad cop, if you don't like them, I don't like you.
How diplomatic of you?
Yeah.
So the rigidity in your personality is your belief system or your ideals or your moral compass that you stick very hard to. You don't want to go outside of this comfort zone, this bubble,
right,
as you put it. Now, let's say that you have a very rigid personality and you're faced with evidence that contradicts your rigid beliefs. What you might experience is called a cognitive dissonance. Told you it took a few minutes to get here, but here we are. This is the real meat and potatoes, and the definition as given by simplypsychology.com is cognitive dissonance refers to a situation involving conflicting attitudes, beliefs, or behaviors. This produces a feeling of discomfort, leading to an alteration in one's attitude, beliefs, or behaviors to reduce the discomfort and restore balance, etc.
Anger or unfollow? Is anger or unfollow effect?
Yeah.
Cavemen invented it, and it exists today.
Well,
you know,
quite literally on social media.
Yeah, you see a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and you're either going to anger it into a meat sandwich that you can eat with your face, or you're going to unfollow it and let it live its ignorant life as a dinosaur.
Poor dinosaur. No friends.
Metaphors are cool, right? Just learn about them.
You're just peppering them in. You learn this cool new terminology.
Just a little pepper.
Pepper. There's too much paper
just
on my puppy
flakes. Just some flakes on metaphor.
But I would be happy to partake in your pecan pie.
Don't know what that's from.
When Harry Met Sally.
Everyone's favorite movie. How
I'll
could
have
I forget?
What she's having. That's what that's from. So our brains are always looking for cognitive consistency, which is the opposite of cognitive dissonance. And when something breaks that consistency, we as humans can do some stupid things. And it's not our fault. It's our dumb... It's not our fault. It's our dumb brains and the way that they formed over thousands of years.
Or millions.
Well, depending on...
Or hundreds of thousands. Well, meet you in the middle.
Well, if you go back and listen...
Well,
If you go back and listen to our episode on, what was it? It was milk, actually. The episode on milk, we talk about how old, like, modern civilization is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, it's thousands only thousands.
Yeah, I'm just...
I mean, if you want to go back to mammalian brains, there were mammals when dinosaurs were around, and even before that, mammals had to come from reptiles or sea creatures and so on and so forth. So if you want to go that far back, then yeah, millions of years.
Yeah, okay. That's all right.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
No, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
We're fine.
So a pretty... But
millions of years, though, probably. Right? So thousands. Okay, let's go.
Somewhere between a thousand and millions.
Mm-hmm.
So... A pretty benign example of that this article gave is that people that smoke while knowing it causes cancer. Like, they know it causes cancer, but they still smoke anyway. And the concept isn't benign. Cancer is deadly, but it doesn't cause any sort of outward reaction from that person. So the article goes on to point out that, quote, a powerful motive to maintain cognitive consistency can give rise to irrational and sometimes maladaptive behavior. Which... Like, smoking while knowing it's cancerous isn't quite irrational. I mean, it is irrational, but it's not maladaptive behavior. The best example that I came up with was the Heaven's Gate cult. Have you heard about those guys?
Yeah. Is that Nikes? Ten Shoes? No?
I don't think so.
I'm thinking a different cult.
Probably. This is the people that killed themselves when Halley's Comet was going over, and they had the belief that our bodies would be taken up to heaven-like... Well, sorry, they'd be taking up... They had this belief that their bodies or their spirits would be taken up by this celestial craft, like this alien spaceship that they assumed was Halley's Comet because they saw, like, spaceship trails behind it.
Just, sick.
Yeah, right? And this would take them off of Earth. They would wipe off Earth, and then they'd put them back on Earth in this new Earth called the Next Level. And I hope that I'm getting that right. And their beliefs started off that if you died, that you would not go to heaven because your body couldn't be picked up by the celestial craft, aka Halley's Comet. They were largely against suicide in the beginning because if you died, you couldn't go to the spacecraft and go to the next level.
Yeah.
Well, one of their founders died early in her life before she could be picked up by this alien craft to be taken to the next level. So what do you do when you've thought for how long that you can't die before this shows up, otherwise you won't be able to go to quote-unquote heaven? Well,
you make up something.
You make up something. That's maladaptive behavior that it was talking to before. You adapt your thinking to this new evidence that was shown. And what they did was they panicked and they said, oh, well, now if we die, our spirits will automatically get upgraded to this next level perfected body. So why don't we just all kill ourselves? Well, here's the thing. In the Bible, Jesus honorifically and willingly gave up his body and he ascended to this next level human. So what if we did that too and just skipped all the waiting and speed up the process and just kill ourselves to get to these next bodies?
Yeah, this seems cool. You got anything delicious to drink while we're waiting?
That was Jonestown. Oh. These guys, like, slashed themselves? I don't remember. But then they all committed suicide. And again, just to recap, that what caused this is their need for cognitive consistency. They wouldn't let this death go because it didn't jive with their belief system, so it led to some outlandish way of circumventing the new evidence that was presented to them.
Yeah, can I just, like, get back in there with just, like a slightly darker example?
Yes.
Soda.
Yeah.
Has high fructose corn syrup in it, but people still drink it.
Yeah, that's darker than the Heaven's Gate cult.
You can get there. Do you drink soda? Do you know what's in that stuff?
Well, I was going to say that these examples are both ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into something more so in the middle and a little bit more topical, and then we can talk about how to use this knowledge of cognitive dissonance to admit when you're wrong.
Cool.
So let's imagine. Let's just imagine this crazy world. There's this female presidential candidate, right? Mm-hmm. And it's part of your core belief system that they are an awful person. So, therefore, you will basically believe anything bad about them or anything bad that someone says about them is the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah.
It's weird fantasy world. Imaginary scenario. Let's just say she has a private email server.
Okay, okay.
I don't know.
I'm trying to follow you.
Yeah, I'm just pulling this out of thin air. And then let's say that your favorite male presidential candidate got elected, became president, and then it turns out he did the same thing. He also had a private email server.
No, but you see the difference is he probably used it for good, though, right? Like,
well, he had to, right?
Yeah.
Well, either way, what he did wasn't as bad as what she did, right? So, like, of course we're not going to chant lock him up. That's, again, hypothetical,
yeah,
chanting lock him
kind
up.
Of a,
we're not going to do that because it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, you're getting really specific. I don't know. I'm going to have trouble following you.
Well, I'm not saying that this female candidate is innocent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could still not like this person.
You can still
be
not
influenced.
Like them, but it is on the same level of activity that this male candidate did. But in order to keep that cognitive consistency in this hypothetical situation, you're not going to admit you're wrong, so you maladapt your thinking into, well, what she did was worse.
Yeah.
It risked national security, even though the FBI hypothetically came out and said that it didn't. Following?
Yeah, yeah, I think I'm there. And in this fantasy world, let's say, yeah, what if there was like a, someone, you know, came out and was questioning the leader of the mm-hmm. FBI and really just needed a nap and just kind of didn't know what he was talking about. Kept asking, like, you know,
why didn't you arrest the girl one?
Yeah.
Why are you trying to arrest just the boy one?
And really just could use a sandwich, maybe a baba or something.
A nice baba.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I will say that me and my dad have great political discussions, and I might have talked about this before, but we'll always be talking politics,
yeah,
and we don't agree on like anything, but it's great because we're both open-minded and we don't let this stuff get in the way, and my mom just sees it as a political argument and is like, stop arguing. It's like, we're having a great discussion. It's wonderful. And I love it. It's really fun. So I feel like people need to know how to combat this cognitive dissonance within themselves and within other people. So how can people combat this and admit when they're wrong?
All right. So there is a beautiful, beautiful infographic by The Oatmeal.
Yeah.
And you read through it?
Yep.
I read through it too. It gets to a point where they say,
I just want to call out first real fast that, Jeff Tibbetts linked it on our Facebook page.
He did.
So if you want to go find it, it's right there.
We'll post it too.
Yep.
I saw it, and I've read it before.
Uh-huh.
I did not associate it with cognitive dissonance.
I didn't either, because I didn't call it out, but it's the exact same thing.
Yeah. So there's a point at the bottom where it says, we're going to get to this big conclusion after they explain what cognitive dissonance is.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we really don't have a conclusion. Mm-hmm. It all comes down to being aware of what it is.
Uh-huh.
So the author's conclusion was that they let their brain think what it thinks.
Uh-huh.
Then they think about, why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And then they use reason to think, is it possible this could be a different?
Yeah.
And that's it.
There you go. That's how you admit you're wrong.
I'm angry? Wait a minute. Why am I angry?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they do have a point.
Yeah. And that takes a lot to do, unfortunately. And not everyone's willing to do that, either because they don't want to feel like an idiot or just because they're not aware that they're doing it. So I guess that's the point of this whole episode, is to make you guys aware that you might be putting this wall up called cognitive dissonance, where you don't want to bring in this new evidence that contradicts what you already believe. And there was an article on theestablishment.co, which sounds ominous. It didn't seem ominous. They had some good steps for how to admit you're wrong. And here's what they said. This is all no-brainer stuff again, but
okay.
Again, it's worth pointing out. So take a deep breath. That's how you breathe out. So are you taking the other person's argument or opinion personally? Put your defenses down. Breathe in, breathe out.
Okay.
The other thing is, are you really as sure as you say you are? You might be so confident in your argument, you might be spouting facts that you are only slightly sure are accurate. And this is why when, like, I was having a political discussion with my brother about gun control, and I don't know anything about gun control because I haven't looked into it. I don't have an opinion on it. And he was like, well, what about this? And what about this? And I'm like, I cannot speak to this. I'm very sorry. I do not know anything about this. So don't just go around spouting facts if you're not confident, just to be right,
yeah,
quote unquote, right. And then the other thing is there more room for more than one truth out there? Can you both be right? Can the sky be blue and pink? Well, yes, it can.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to fight tooth and nail it to one or the other. And then there was another article on Psychology Today And they said that the best way to be wrong is to apologize. And a sincere apology will go a long way. And I was talking about this earlier today with someone else, that an apology isn't always for you. It's usually for the other person that you're talking to, because it can help give them closure on the conversation that you're having. So even if you guys agree to disagree, or they're just going on and you are like, hey, man, okay, apologize. Sorry that I didn't look at it that way. Or,
well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
A lot of apologies are cop-outs I see online, too. Nobody's ever won an argument on the internet, right?
Right.
But the way to apologize properly is to say, I'm wrong, here's why I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
To not only give the other person closure, but to show them that you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And you understand why what you did was wrong.
Yeah. And don't give a backhanded apology like you see on the internet. Like,
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you think that. I'm sorry that you think everyone should have guns to kill little babies. That's not an apology. Yeah.
I'm sorry, and you just don't understand. Here, let me explain what I meant.
Yeah.
Is wrong still.
Yeah. And we talked about on a previous episode, check your own biases, because you might be wrong just based on something that you thought was true, and you formed a bias on that. If there's evidence, there's evidence. Don't ignore evidence just because you're on bias. And lastly, just admit when you don't know something. People, it's okay to be wrong. Understand that. Take a step back and say, I guess I don't know. The end.
Yeah.
Close that book.
Hey, thanks for letting me know this point. I have a lot to learn about it, clearly.
Yeah. And then maybe go back and do your own research.
Or you can say, you know what? I don't have all the info on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to continue this once I know more.
I tried reading an article from Forbes, but it was all circled around business, like how to be wrong in business. But there's some good stuff to learn from it. There's a lot of advice like, come back to it later. Just say, like, we're going to table this. We'll come back to it once we have X information. You can do that same thing.
Yeah.
Say, I love this conversation. I don't know enough about gun control. I would love to continue this conversation once I know more.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You're not exactly coming right out and saying, I don't know. Everything that I said up to this point has been just me trying to keep up with you. You're continuing the conversation.
Yep.
And I feel like all that kind of seems obvious, but keep that in mind next time you're in some sort of argument or debate, and keep an open mind and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe you can stop, drop, and roll.
Can you?
You know?
No, I don't know.
You can stop and think about why you're upset. You can drop your bias.
Yeah, yeah, keep it going.
And you can just roll with it.
Just roll with it.
You could just be like, all right, you know what? Maybe I don't know.
This is perfect. Stop, drop, and roll.
Yep. And it also works if you catch on fire accidentally.
What?
Yeah. Stop, drop, and roll if you...
Oh, catch on fire. Sorry.
Yeah, if you shoot up into flames. Works in both. You can do both at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm on fire. This hurts very badly. And I don't know enough about gun control. Why did you shoot me?
I was going to try to tie it together much better. Like, oh my God, I'm on fire. And also, I was wrong. I should have got that house insurance.
Right. Or, oh my God, I'm on fire, and I really don't have an opinion on Ron Paul's stance on gun control.
John.
Nicholas.
Where can people find us?
StrangersThShow.com.
And on Facebook, if you search StrangersThShow.
And on, actually, we have a link now.
Yeah.
It's I think it's Facebook.com/groups/StrangersThShow.
Yes. Is that one word?
Let's check it out. You look that up, and I'll tell people about our Twitter.
Okay.
Which is at StrangersThShow. And about how
that didn't take long enough.
Still looking it up, huh?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got distracted.
Okay.
I was trying to see if we had any more reviews. Do you want to tell people about reviewing us?
Yeah. So it's good. Do it.
Well, we're trying to get to 2,000 reviews.
We are. That's our goal.
And we have 33. So stop what you're doing right now. Go leave us a review. I don't care how many stars it is. We have all 5. Just saying. 30, yeah. 35
There's stars. There are 5 options. Why not use all the stars you're given, right?
Right.
And beyond that, the most important thing that you could possibly do for us is tell a friend or share this.
Yeah.
If you share this on Facebook or social media, and anyone that you're great at.
Yeah.
Or verbally with your mouth.
Verbally
your face.
With your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, news time. Can we say it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we are going to have an AM spot, I believe. We'll post the exact details on an online radio station. It's called KNHB. I always have to say it out loud. It stands for No Holds Barred. So KNHB.
Yes.
I should probably say it right. But they've been gracious enough to allow us to put some episodes on their radio show.
Yep, they're going to be streaming us on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. As of right now, that's the plan. So you'll probably be hearing this, and it'll be out tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So go support them.
Yep.
It's like a freelance online radio station.
Yeah, and we're going to post links and logos on our page, so you can check it out.
There'll be plenty of postages on it.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Lots of stamps.com.
Stamps.com. We're not sponsored yet.
We're going to get there.
Stamps.com. Feel free to sponsor us.
If you share our podcast.
Yeah. I want to go back to that sharing thing. Sorry that we're going on so long. We'll talk about Facebook here in a second, like we always do. But share with a friend. Find an episode. We have, 48 now? We're coming up on 50. So there's there's at least one episode that your friend will like. So go out there, take that link, mm-hmm. send it to him. And, I finally got it. Facebook.com/group/StrangerStillShow. No spaces, no dashes.
Okay.
Find an episode you like, share it with your friends, and, worst thing is they don't like it. Best thing is that you got us a new listener, and we couldn't be more appreciative.
Sure. Or if you have a cognitively dissident listener friend.
Yeah.
You can send it to your enemies.
Yeah. We always love to plug
that, too. Oh, you don't
believe
this? Here's facts.
Yeah. So, as we always do. Posted on Facebook asking if anyone has issues admitting that they're wrong, and then you posted who has issues with others being wrong.
I need you to pronounce the devil emoji for me. Thank you.
There's a devil emoji there too. So we got some stuff here. Jeff Tibbetts said, "Does my mom count?" I said, "Sure." Well, she won't talk to you about it because she'll deny it. She does it. She says everyone else in the family does it, which is also true.
Right. To which she responded, "No, I don't.
We don't."
That didn't happen.
Yeah. No. My brother Drew said, "Not me, upside down smiley face," which sounds like what? And they said, "Just kidding. I've got a lot better about it taking my looks over the year." Sadie said, "I have a hard time admitting it to my boyfriend, but thankfully I'm almost never wrong." Jason posted, "Guilty as charged." Hillary said, "Depends on the topic/person for me."
Dang, so we got some pretty cognitively good people.
Yeah, these people are at least willing to admit it. And Jenny said, "I try not to have any opinions and not speak them if I do, because I hate being wrong and I hate having other people know when I am wrong."
Yeah, I have no opinion on that.
Right. Hopefully, Jenny, now that you've listened to this, you will be able to admit when you're wrong. And it will be okay. It'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah, or just always be right.
Well, that too. Well, that's what she's going with. I think that works. So, our podcast buddy, Justin Vignola. Hope I said that right.
Yeah.
I probably didn't. He had this long block of text, and then you said that I'll probably have a lot to say about it.
Yeah, did you read it yet?
Yeah, I did. So, he says, "This is going to sound incredibly pretentious, so I apologize for that up front. I am often the smartest person in the room. Even at work, I often have a stronger working understanding of the chemistry we do. That being the case, I often find myself explaining or defending ideas to people who don't understand the topic or concept as well as I do. They're wrong, but won't believe that I'm right. It used to really irritate me because I think it's natural to want people to know that you're right about something, but now I often just tell them what I think, and if they refuse it, I just let them figure out that they're wrong in their own time. Once in a while, someone comes back to me and says, 'Hey, you were right about that thing,' but most of the time, they don't. And really, either one of those outcomes gives me greater peace of mind than arguing with someone who simply won't believe you."
Which is the most grown-up paragraph I've ever read in my life. That's so good.
Yeah. You don't have to argue.
Yeah.
This is something that I'm still overcoming, is that not everything is personal. If someone doesn't agree with you, it's not your fault. It's their fault.
Yeah.
As I just explained for the last, 30 some minutes?
And 52 seconds.
Usually it's just...
And 53 seconds.
Thank you.
And 54 seconds.
Thank you. It's usually just our dumb brain's fault. So don't take it personally that they're just like, "Nah, I don't believe you."
Yeah. The next time they say, "I disagree," you say, "Well, you got a dumb mammal brain.
You got a dumb mammal reptilian modern
not
brain.
Not your fault, you know facts." Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that, please. Unless you're going to say after that, go listen to Stranger Still.
Show.com.
Yeah. do you have any thoughts about being wrong?
Yeah. Stop, drop, and roll, which is I got lucky on that last part.
Whew.
Yeah. The other thing is, listen, think, why am I angry about this? Mm-hmm. And then do it more. That's what meditation is.
Yeah. I feel like maybe I do this outwardly, and this might annoy you and my brother and stuff, because I always do it to you guys, is that I spend a lot of time trying to figure out why I don't like something or why something annoys me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, this YouTube channel really annoys me and I don't know why. And then I'll spend like 5 minutes talking it out, and I'll be like, I guess it really comes down to this one point.
Yeah, no, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind hearing it.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting and intelligent. But again, that you're doing like physical talking meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation is awareness. It's like the same word. If you go into Taoism and all that stuff, it's about being aware of yourself. So be aware of why
just
you feel.
Be aware.
Yeah.
I think that's a good note to leave on. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this has been
Stranger.
Still.
Ooh.